We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Come on now, the styling, profiling, limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing, son of a gun. The nature boy, Ric Flair. Come on now.
Morning.
Good morning, sir. Woo! Woo! You get tired of hearing that people just run up on you in the airport and just start screaming that all the time?
And I love it. I love it.
How are you doing today, first and
doing
foremost?
Great, thank you. How are you?
Great. You're doing good. Doing
Thanks
pretty
for
well.
Having,
well, you're in town for Comic-Con, right?
Yes.
First ever celebrity mint. Yep. Tell us about that. You got these great cards here.
Yeah. Those are actually gold, and there's silver there, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And these are all silver. This has one has a gold inlay in it.
Yep.
And they're made by Celebrity Mint out of Houston and distributed via eBay through them basically all over. There will be after 10:30 tomorrow.
When you first started your wrestling career, did you see things like this? That they'd be trading cards with you?
Never. Never.
Really?
That's amazing.
Never imagined, especially in silver or gold.
Mm-hmm.
I want to start from the beginning for people that don't know. You know, this is always a story because kids grew up on wrestling, right? You grew up on, and you're seeing your first superhero was a wrestler and you wanted to be a wrestler and you got in trouble with your mom because you jumped off the kitchen table and you broke
you
something.
Put somebody
you wasn't
in a figure four leg lock.
Yeah, you put somebody in a figure four leg lock. You broke somebody's leg. So what got you, Ric Flair, into wrestling? What made you say, I want to be a wrestler? So tell us that journey for people that don't know.
Well, I grew up loving it, watching it, and I went to Minnesota to play football. And obviously, like every idiot that comes along that wants to be in a fraternity, you join a fraternity and forget about college. Mm-hmm. So I had fun at fraternity and forgot to go to class. And back then, all you had to do was go to class.
So you had to do the
didn't
pass.
Have to say. Mm-hmm. Just had to show up, get your mind marked on. But you know, 30 below 0, 2 mile walk from the fraternity house. I just, and then when I became academically ineligible, I was living with Ken Patera, 72 Olympian, and Vern Gagne from the AWA was in Minneapolis. And said, you want to be a wrestler? I said, God, I love it. But of course, I'm going to try it. And the rest is history.
Wow.
I quit a couple of times. It was a lot more intense than I anticipated. But
What made you finally retire for good after 50 years?
Well, I had that one match last year. You know, I still feel great. It's funny. I people misunderstand when I say I wish I could wrestle again. Like, I feel great. I'm probably one of the few guys that still with no hip replacements or knee replacements or shoulder, and I feel great. So I could, but I could, but I won't.
Now, when you first started wrestling,
I didn't want to quit.
You didn't want to.
Vince McMahon's had his time. That's okay.
So when you first started wrestling, break us down, because you wanted to be different from everybody else, and you were different from everybody else. So what gave you that mind frame? What said, this is what I'm going to be? I'm going to wear these robes. I'm going to be fly. I'm going to be...
That was after the airplane crash, 1975. I crashed in an airplane, killed a guy, and paralyzed two other guys. And while I was rehabbing and hopefully hopeful of over wrestling again, I met a guy named George Scott and said, why don't we make you a little bit like Buddy Rogers? And Buddy was very popular in the 50s and 60s, Nature Boy Buddy Rogers. So I just took that, and in the words of Harley Race, remember Harley?
Mm-hmm.
Flair took Rogers' gimmick to a whole new level.
He lied to. He had no idea who Harley Race is.
No,
he
just
lied
to you. I'm gonna look it up though.
Right?
He had no idea who that is. You survived a plane crash in 1975. You survived death a couple of times, but when you survive a plane crash, how does your life change? Like, what is your mentality from that point on?
Well, when you're younger, you don't think about it. Maybe
really?
I just thought, well, I made it, you know. And I was, you know, a little bit intimidated to fly again for the first time, but I got on one of those private jets today to get here to make sure I could be here on time. What do they call it again? What jet are they?
G550 Cessna.
No, the little tiny one. With,
a prop plane? Propeller?
No. It's a jet, but there's no bathroom or anything. It's a...
Not a Cessna, not a...
No, it's a...
Paper plane? I don't know what you're talking
about. Not a paper plane.
No, it's called
private jet.
Anyway, I would highly recommend
it. G4.
You took it from the airport?
I took it from... I was in Columbus, Georgia last
night
at the hockey game. Vision.
Okay.
Vision jet.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. What a way to go.
Mm-hmm.
I may never fly commercial again.
So when you crashed in the plane, did it like explode around you? Like...
No, we were out, ran out of gas, so there was no explosion, but it... Normally, a twin-engine Cessna 310.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, when you hit an orchard of trees or whatever they would call it, it'll cartwheel plane. We were going so fast because we fell from 6,000 feet that we just tore down the whole damn orchard and landed in a railroad embankment that with train tracks on top of it, just a half mile from the runway.
Wow! And how many was on the plane?
Six.
And three survived and three died.
Pilot died, two are paralyzed, and the three of us made it.
Wow.
Do y'all still have a bond, the three that made it? Do y'all still have a bond now?
There's only two of us still alive, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we remain fairly close. We don't live with each other or live close to each other anymore, but we talk a couple times a year.
Gotcha. What do you miss about wrestling, if anything?
The camaraderie, the fun, bright lights, big city, China Club, New York City. China Club, Chicago.
You love partying after. You love being famous.
Yeah. The wrestling part of it's easy. Then going on afterwards, then you got to hold your reputation.
But that don't change for you, though. You the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
I know it doesn't.
Yeah. You're famous everywhere you go, even now.
I think so. I'm lucky enough to be here.
How much practice did you guys have to do when it came to wrestling?
I don't practice.
No?
No.
There was no practice back then? You just work out and just... The match is at 8 and you're there?
Yeah, because I'm a little different than a lot of guys. A lot of guys like to go out and I'm not saying it, but later on, because it's part of the deal now where the guys have to rehearse and all that. But I just was always, the old school, you got to hear the crowd. You can't rehearse something that you don't know how the people are going to react to. And that's one of the problems today when the young kids, they had this match put together. They walk out the door and the fans aren't reacting the way they want it, and because they don't have the experience, not the ability, but don't have the experience, they can't change it around. And that's why sometimes they're not getting the reaction from the crowd they want.
So when you were wrestling, there was no practice. It's two men in that match, and whatever happened, happened. You get slapped in the face.
Yeah, we knew the outcome, and then...
And we just know from there. So when you get slapped in the face, it wasn't practice. It's like, oh, this just slapped me in my face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would tell him to.
Wow.
Yeah. Hit me with brass knuckles. We used to hit each other with brass knuckles in the old days.
Not the real brass knuckles, right? Yeah.
Bust ourselves open. We were called the hard ways.
Jesus Christ.
You can break. This little bone right here is real. Really just clip it. It'll open up.
Oh, so you know you got to hit hard. You just look.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I was always had that surgical little thing right here. That was the best part of my work. get me to my blade and I'm good.
You had a blade in your fingers too?
Mm-hmm. A blade in your, so you could have missed and went too far, but.
I have a couple times.
Y'all got to have some really nice relationships with each other.
I'm thinking the same thing.
Accidentally cut somebody with a blade and the person not be upset at you for real.
Oh no, I was never cutting anybody else. I was cutting myself.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but I have cut some guys, but they knew it coming. Knew it was coming.
So you must think this new wrestling is so soft with what you were dealing with.
It's not soft because they do, nothing is ever soft. It's just a different time. Mm-hmm. It's like Lawrence Taylor. Could Lawrence play right now? Are you kidding? No. He'd be suspended every game.
He'd be fined so much right now.
Yeah, I mean, or Dick Butkus, who just passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lawrence could play.
The rules have just changed. It's still a very difficult, very physically demanding sport. Mm-hmm. And these guys are doing stuff now where they're jumping off tables and ladders, and I only did that a couple of times.
So what was your last match like for you when you fought Jeff Jarrett and
it was great, except for the fact I didn't anticipate, I psyched myself up, and I was dehydrated, and I went out there, and we put together what I thought was a real good match. It wasn't ever going to be a masterpiece, but we put together the match, and then I got real lightheaded, and about 5 minutes of the match, and I said to one of the guys, I'm not feeling good. Well, it went around the ring like he's saying, like his heart's bad or whatever, right? So, but we got it straightened out. But it was just funny. I just dehydrated, and Undertaker came back to the dressing room and made me drink 3 Gatorades, and I went over to Kid Rock's and partied with the kid all night, so I was fine.
But I saw you say you wish you had picked a different person to have your last match against.
No, that's a misinterpretation. Okay. And that's these damn podcasts, you say it and it comes out wrong. I there's a guy that's still active today, Ricky Morton from the Rock and Roll Express. Mm-hmm. And if I were to have a singles match, not a tag. Mm-hmm. So they'd always what they wanted to have a tag match because they didn't think I could make it through a singles. If I was going to have a singles match now, it would be with Ricky Morton. Mm-hmm. He's still active and he's doing great, and he was so good. Mm-hmm. And I'm a much better bad guy than I am a good guy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But you always were kind of like you're the bad guy, but then you're like the bad guy people root for.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
That's out of respect over the years.
Yeah.
Now back then, did you make a lot of money wrestling, or was it more for the endorsements outside of actually
there
wrestling?
There were no endorsements back then. It was all wrestling income.
Really?
Yeah, because WWE is the one, or WWF, Vince, is the one that started all the marketing, where the guy started making as much money from selling lunchboxes and dolls
action
and
figures
stuff,
and all
stuff like that, as they did wrestling.
Yeah, I grew up in South Carolina. I was telling them earlier, like, I grew
there you
up
go, on, God's yeah. country.
So I grew up on NWA.
Yeah.
You know, then WCW. I was born in Charleston, but raised in a small town called Monk's Corner, South Carolina.
What's the name of that place I used to wrestle in King?
King Street,
yeah. And God, it was hot, 120 degrees in that building.
Oh, absolutely.
Every Friday night.
King Street, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Now, I want to go back to your last match mentally. How do you prepare yourself to say, okay, this is my last match? And did it really feel that way?
I just focused on it. What it did is I had 4 months to really get myself in shape. I mean, I work out pretty hard anyway, but to really get myself in, and I had made up my mind that I would be as good a shape, not cosmetically, obviously, because I'm a cosmetic nightmare.
That's not true. One of the ladies out there says he's so cute.
Definitely said that.
One of the ladies out there said that.
Oh, she hasn't seen me without my shirt since my surgery. Without my shirt, not so cute since my surgery. But No, just I was ready. I just framed. I fell forward, and you know, remember Vince Lombardi's favorite saying is fatigue makes cowards of us all. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was never worried about getting tired because I was always in better shape. So I actually got myself in as good a shape as I was in 1974. I was doing 500 free squats and
wow,
stuff like that. 100
really?
Push-ups. Yeah.
You still work out to this day?
Yes.
Really?
You know, when I'm home, I have been gone quite a bit. But I go up and train with John Cena's trainer, Rob.
Yep. Really? I always wondered because you talked about your steroid use before,
mm-hmm.
right? But you never had the physique of the...
No, I didn't take it. I took steroids when I remembered it, too. Kind of hard at 4 a.m. to remember to take your pills exactly when it...
Yeah. that's the only way you get that big physique like that?
No, you get it through hard work.
Okay.
But, you know, I wrestled so much. I didn't pay as much attention to my diet. Because in wrestling, I did a lot of, like, hour matches.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was younger, I'd, like, wrestle 300-hour matches a year. So you get mentally here, and then you can eat and drink what you want. And then all of a sudden, your metabolism changes, you retire. You got to be careful, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? So...
Are you still surprised that some of your catchphrases still people are saying now to this day? And, you know, even like, you know, some of the rappers still want you in their videos, make songs yeah. like Offset, who was here this week. His album's out, you know, right
Offset
now.
Offset was
well.
Here?
Yeah, Offset was here a couple days ago.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Does that still surprise you when these rappers call you and things like that?
Not really. I'm a Doja Cat new one, too, you know,
mm-hmm.
with my catch line. Nobody can be first, but anyone can be next.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love Offset. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
Metro Boomin, those were great guys.
Why are you laughing?
Metro Boomin's got another one out now.
Well, yeah, Offset album came out today.
Yeah, it came out today.
Oh, it came out today?
Yeah,
okay.
It's out right now, yep. Yeah.
You said something about Doja Cat. You like Doja Cat, too?
Yeah, I'm in her new song.
Which one?
Paint the Town?
It just came out.
I got to hear it.
The opening is none of you can be first, but anyone of
oh,
you
yeah,
can
yeah,
be
yeah.
next.
Oh, yeah, yeah, she sampled your voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, okay, got you. Now you had a ruptured intestine too in 2017.
Yeah.
And then you got put into a coma, respiratory heart failure, pneumonia, all kind of stuff. How did
total kidney failure, everything.
Two total, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
How did that near death experience impact you?
That changed my life.
Okay.
Yeah, that when I come out of that, because I couldn't walk or anything, you know, I didn't have any memory for 6 months.
Mm.
That was when I decided that I needed to make sure that everybody that mattered to me in my life, I told.
Wow.
I'm not selling a religious, I'm not going religion on you. I mean, obviously we all have our own religion and I believe in God very strongly, but it really made me aware of telling people that I like, because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living proof, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
I was just sitting at a bar like I will be tonight with these guys. And all of a sudden I got a pain in my stomach. I didn't wake up for 31 days.
Wow.
I don't even remember going to the hospital.
Damn.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first person you told you love when you finally
That's
was able
scary.
To?
Well, it must have been my wife, Wendy. She's on her way here now. She's actually going from here to Iceland at Sunday and then over to donate time in Israel for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
With the issues over there. So I guess it would be her. Hogan said that I looked at him and said, get me a six-pack of beer. Yeah, they said, believe it or not, they said, which you'll find humor in, that besides from all the issues of me almost dying, they said, brother, I went through a bad, bad case of the DD. No booze.
Mm-hmm. Oh, said, no drinking.
They said it was vibrating, and it wasn't because I was sick. I was like, but strapping me down.
Does it matter at this point? When you get to this age and you've done it all, do you feel like, okay, you know what? I'm going to listen to the doctors. I'm not going to do no drinking. I'm done.
No, I don't pay attention to it because here's the deal. I want to live now because guys like Ryan Fitterman and these people here at Celebrity Minute are making me a lot more money than
you did when you before. Yeah, yeah, so you want it all.
Yeah. And so I want, like, you know, I've like paid $2 million in alimony and $2 million in penalty and interest. I mean, my story is interesting.
Yeah, I saw the doctor.
If I ever give you the real story, $1.5 million to lawyers, 4 divorces. So this kind of stuff.
You got to get back. You got to get your money back.
You got to get your money back. You got to get your money back. Do you consider yourself the...
I make more money than Ryan than I ever made wrestling.
That's crazy.
That just Fetterman Sports, man. Just going da-da-da, and I get to hang around with Lawrence Taylor and Mike Tyson and Pete Rose. It's not a bad life.
Do you consider yourself the greatest wrestler of all time?
Yes.
Why?
Because I am. I'm not on my Mount Rushmore.
You're not?
No, because I think it's better to have somebody else put you there. But my Mount Rushmore, in terms of importance to the business, is Stone Cold,
Hulk,
obviously, Undertaker, and I think Shawn Michaels is the greatest performer of all time in our business.
So what makes you the best? Because I think everybody would put you on
the Mount Rushmore. I can do a little bit of everything.
Okay.
It doesn't make me the best. I'm just being me a little bit. I never say stuff like that. I consider myself to be lucky to be considered one of the best. How about that?
Why is The Rock on your Mount Rushmore?
He would be, except he didn't stay long enough.
Mm.
I think part of the Mount Rushmore is longevity. You know, it's hard to be really good, and Rock was great. I mean, but he took off, and he's on my Mount Rushmore for interview skills and everything else, and I remained very close to him. But he was on TV the other night. Do you ever watch the show? Do you watch Raw or watch Raw now?
No, not
anymore.
You know, he came out. He was out. They were.
I saw that online. Yeah.
They were in Boulder, right? And he was out supporting Prime.
In Colorado.
In Colorado, right? So he just dropped in for the show. But there's a new kid in the show. I think he's the United States champion, Austin Theory. Mm-hmm. The Rock came out, and I was laughing about it. He looks at Austin Theory. He was one of their up-and-coming stars. They have a lot of TV time invested in him. He said, The Rock goes, so The Rock doesn't know who Austin Theory is. what's Theory going to say? I don't know who you are. I don't think so. You know, he just had that unbelievable amount of charisma. God, and what a great guy.
Do you think somebody like you, I say like you, Sting, do you think that the NWA and WCW kept y'all from reaching your full potential?
No, because, you know, I was NWA so long, you know, and I didn't end up going there until I was 41, you know, so I could still get around pretty good. And I actually had my last match with Shawn when I was 59, so, but that was all Shawn Michaels. Shawn, first guy that ever said to me in my entire career, shut up, listen to me. Then he looked at me and said, let's do it, and walked out, and there's 80,000 people in the Citrus Bowl.
Wow.
But I did it. I just finally said, you know, he knows what he's doing, and I'm nervous as can be, and I am insecure right now, and I'm wondering if I can make it, and my whole family's on the front row, and no pressure.
What do you think the difference between the WCW and WWF was as far as business?
Oh,
like, why did they make all the money?
WWE is run like a business.
Okay.
WCW was just catch as catch can.
Wow.
Everybody had their own thing going. And the guy that ran it, he liked creating dissension between, let's say it's Scott Hall and Kevin with the NWO, the head guys, right? Obviously, there are other guys. And it was, say, Sting and Luger, and then Hulk and Randy. I mean, he just liked to create, not create, but it was his style of doing business. And nothing ever works like that. Mm-hmm. And then Hulk had, you know, total creative control, which I don't blame him for. He brought a lot to the table. Mm-hmm. But it's just hard to, you know, to function. I mean, they did, and did great for 83 weeks. But at the end of 83 weeks, how do you bankrupt Ted Turner?
Damn. Yeah. Because I love the Four Horsemen, and I always wonder why the Four Horsemen never got to the levels of DX or NWO.
Well, you know why they love us? Because everybody beat us. You know, but we got our heat back on TV. Then you go to the arena and you get beat up. You get back on TV the next week, beat somebody up. We didn't mind losing in the arenas. The problem is that people back then with WCW is people didn't want to get their heat on TV and didn't want to lose in the arena either. It's got to be, you know, in my opinion, it's got to be a balance.
How bad was
Hold on, what's the difference though? Like, because I would think that more eyeballs would be on television.
Oh, there are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, that's what I don't understand either.
Mm-hmm. So they'd have y'all lose in arenas.
But Four Horsemen don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So when you say lose, they just have y'all lose matches in the arena?
Yeah.
But then win on television?
Well, get our heat. Not necessarily win, but get it back.
Got you.
You know.
So they never had y'all looking like the dominant group, like how DX was dominant, or NWO was dominant.
Yeah, they were dominant. Yeah, but DX, I'm talking more about the. I have no problem with DX. They were great. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm just saying. Why you think Four Horsemen never got to that level?
Oh, number one, the time frame.
Okay.
Yeah, if we'd been, we were 10 years too early.
Gotcha.
If we'd come along in the '90s, that same four people.
Yeah,
that would have been.
I was always wondering, like, when you talk WWF or WWE or NWA or whatever, how do they decide who is going to be that quote-unquote man, right?
You know, they give you the opportunity, and you got about 5 minutes to do something that the guy goes...
That people are going to like. Really?
We call it Gorilla, right? There's Vince and Hunter and whoever the agents are that have got some, like, Michael Hayes, guys that have been there for a while, and,
mm-hmm.
and you got... They go out the door, and... You got 5 minutes to show them something that's going to make them go, Or, you know, Vince, like, I've seen him 1,000 times. He's either going to tell you you're the shit.
Or you're going home.
He's going to shake your hand and say, nice job. You know what I mean? Or I'll talk to you later. In my case, I'll talk to you later.
Do you remember that conversation with you, that first conversation when they pulled you to the side and say, you're the guy?
Yeah, it wasn't Vince. That's when I won the NWA championship for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'd be 81. But I wasn't the guy I thought I was. But I had wrestled so many guys that were really good in that one area of the Mid-Atlantic, right?
Mm-hmm.
That when I went on the road and started wrestling guys for an hour that didn't know anything about wrestling, when I thought I knew it all, I was lost. And I didn't draw. So they took it off me, and then I prepared myself and got myself back and realized that everybody's not gonna be the best wrestler every night. And then the second time I was ready to go. And that's when I really turned it on.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the figure four leg lock come from?
Buddy Rogers.
Okay. Does that work in real life if you put somebody in that?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Really?
Oh, I put a linebacker at Penn State still sitting on the floor of a bar.
Do you still do it? Do you still do it now?
If I can put it on somebody, yeah. You got to let me put it on.
I would love to see you put it on Charlamagne one time.
Tell me about the guy in the bar in Penn State. What happened to him?
He the phony wrestler thing. He said figure four and got out of it. So I was with, trying to think who was on the quarterback then. The kid that played for the Panthers.
Cam Newton? No, Cam didn't play for Penn State.
Cam's Auburn.
Auburn, yeah.
No, the guy before him.
Let me see.
Before Cam,
Kerry Collins,
mm-hmm.
Penn State,
Collins.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're down on the landing there in Pittsburgh and drinking in the linebacker with Kerry Collins, and the kid told me, he said, "I can get out of that." I said, "No, you can't." He said, "Yeah, I can." I'd been at the Dapper Dan, right? I was with Marty Schottenheimer and Bill Cowher, who were all down there drinking. So I put it on him. I said, "You got to let me get it on." And he was a big kid too. He's still laying there.
If you feel up for it, before you leave, I want to see you put it on Charlamagne. He'll let you do it.
I'm not
yes.
doing that.
One time, yes.
No,
and you got to tap out? Yes, I would love to see that one time. Come on.
You won't have me back on then.
What's your favorite iteration of the Four Horsemen?
Arn Tully, myself, and Barry Windham.
That's the original one, right?
Huh?
Is that the original one?
The original one was with Ole. But Ole... His kids were older at that time, mm-hmm. and he wanted to work part-time, and
mm-hmm.
Ole was great. But the best four were Barry, Arn, myself, and Tully.
Do a lot of younger wrestlers come up to you and ask for guidance and mentorship, and do you give it to a lot of the younger wrestlers?
I try to, but I realize it doesn't mean anything, because the first thing they're going to is, what do you think? What do you think all the young wrestlers? It's not just young wrestlers.
I'm sure they want to be famous more important than skill.
They want to go look and see what the fans are saying.
Yeah.
Mm.
The fans run their life. Social media runs everything.
How do you think a young Ric Flair would handle social media?
Well, he'd be in jail. we'd be conducting this interview from Rikers Island.
We see too much, right?
Yeah. Hello, Rick. Are you still at Rikers? Yep. Do you mind joining the Breakfast Club? We don't talk about your silver coins.
That is hilarious,
it's
man.
It's the truth. Yeah. Young Ric Flair? I don't think so. Yeah. They still got my gold club at the China Club, and they threw me out one night.
Damn.
In New York, they threw you out?
Yeah.
What happened?
Got into a fight. I was talking. Just
who wants to fight you, though? Like, who sees you and be like, I'm going to try?
I was just talking to this Pan Am flight attendant. You heard the nasty voice, right? Mm-hmm. So there was a guy there that sells toys to the WWE, and they took his glasses off and stomped on him, and he came over crying to me. And so I go over to Brian. I slap Brian. I said, Brian, don't leave the guy alone, man. We're just having a good time. And then Sags jumped on me, and da-da-da, and they already had my credit card. And so they threw me out and kept the nasty voice in there. Can you imagine that?
Damn.
Yeah, $3,000.
Wow.
Is there anything that you wouldn't tell people now? Even now at this age, is there anything you still keep to yourself? Like you?
Oh, yeah.
He told you didn't want to go to jail.
I got a whole closet full of things. That I have a keeper of the closet, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't run for governor of North Carolina. Gene Okerlund was going to be the keeper of the closet.
You think? How is it watching your daughter follow in your footsteps?
Oh, God, it's amazing. That I'll take very seriously. She's the greatest thing going.
Yeah.
You seen her?
Yeah.
She's in a different world, different planet, different stratosphere than I was.
Did you want her to?
No. I said, somebody asked her, and she was, you know, doing real well in the business world, and graduated from college. And I saw her looking, the guy asked her, and he said, why aren't you doing this? And they had a talent relationship at the time. I know her like a book. I saw her walk around the room and think to herself. She walked over to me and said, Dad, what do you think about it? I said, I don't know. Why? She said, I think I'm going to try it. Here she is now, the greatest history of all time.
Isn't that like the ultimate form of homage to you, though?
Well, it's not really, you know, it's because of our little brother, my son that passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I think is still in the back of her mind. She's fulfilling the dream that he lived, which makes it even more special and more personal.
Mm-hmm. That's clearly the most important thing to you.
Yeah, nowadays. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think sports entertainment is missing right now? Oh, man.
Yeah, carry them every day.
Mm.
What's sports entertainment missing right now?
Mm-hmm.
You mean sports entertainment period or wrestling?
Wrestling.
I don't think it's missing anything, man. I think it's tracking on all fours. I mean, every time you turn around, Tony is opening up another show, and they've got three live shows a week now.
Mm-hmm.
WWE's making more money than ever. I still believe that wrestling is the greatest form of sports entertainment there is.
Oh, people will be like, oh, it's not real.
Yeah, but they're sold out saying it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And the stock's at $120 or whatever it is. I mean, it's...
Mm-hmm.
They can say whatever they want to say. People watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the blue-collar fans. I mean, the doctors, lawyers, everybody loves it.
Absolutely.
And I do autographs for Ryan, as an example, who runs the biggest sports memorabilia company in probably the world, but I'll say the United States for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And we sign these autographs, and the wrestlers that participate, we get as much attention as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ryan can vouch for that. You know, We're not all going to be like if Barkley came out for something like that, or was a good friend of mine, but the guys that do it on a regular basis, we get, I think Ryan will tell you that the wrestlers hold their own with any credible athlete.
What's the biggest misconception of wrestling?
That it's fake. Not fake, that it's, I think a misconception, I don't even know if that's a misconception anymore. I have to think about that. I think it's a misconception as to how much hard work goes into it, especially if you're on top now. Because let's say if they're working a full schedule, they still wrestle, you know, 155 times a year. I think that's a full schedule, right? But if you're in the top tier, you know what you're doing on the 3 days off you have? You're doing is media.
Oh.
Media for the next round.
Meet it for the next match.
I mean, there is no time off, really. Mm-hmm. That's why it's nice that Vince or whoever is calling the shots now understands that kids need to take a month break here or there.
I was going to ask you, how does your body heal with so many matches? You're talking 155 matches of getting
beat up. I wrestled 425. Oh, I wrestled over 400 times for 8 years. We don't rest. We just drink and sleep on the plane.
Jesus.
And then what, so
that's why I got one of the reasons I got in the cannabis business, that I've been eating Xanax, trying to sleep on these international flights, you know. Like I was telling somebody asked me about one week I wrestled an hour in Sydney, wrestled an hour in Auckland, wrestled an hour in Christchurch, flew to St. Louis, an hour in St. Louis, flew to Atlanta, an hour in Atlanta, and flew to Tokyo all in the same week.
Wow.
That's a lot of booze and at least three Xanax.
So you like to smoke the weed or pop
no,
the edibles?
No, I do. I can, but I can't hang with Mike.
I will ask you. I'd love to see you and Mike Tyson.
I'm saying
smoke.
Edibles are what?
Edibles?
The edibles can get you off the Xanax. Mm.
Have you had Mike Tyson's edibles?
Huh?
Have you had Mike's edibles? Mike Tyson's?
Yeah, I've had my own too. So I have my own called Woo Chews.
Really?
Yeah.
You should have brought some of that up too.
Hell yeah.
With these cards. You should have brought some cards and some Woo Chews.
Yeah, I'll bring you guys some more.
Please.
I like the edibles. I can't smoke either. I like edibles.
Well, I had asthma as a kid, so I didn't smoke, but I'm not against it. I've certainly been around it my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But the edibles actually can help you get off Xanax or Ambien and stuff like that if you do it under a doctor's supervision.
Mm-hmm.
When you just stop taking the Xanax, that's a withdrawal issue. But if you do it the right way, I've cleaned myself up, not 100%. Not going to say I never take one now once in a while, but...
Mm-hmm.
If I have the edibles and I'm not stressed out about something,
mm-hmm.
which I very rarely get stressed out anymore. But when I was working, I did, you know, it was a lot of pressure. And if you're on top, it's your, I think in 90, I speak for 90% of the people that are on top, they still feel responsible for drawing the money. They're going to get paid $5 million. The damn arena better be full.
Yeah.
Because the other people underneath it, even though they have guaranteed salaries, will make more. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
They want to exceed their guarantees.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal.
Mm-hmm. Damn, that's why the rappers like you, man. The new rappers. You do drugs like them. Xanax?
I used to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. No cocaine, no painkillers, nothing. Ever.
Damn. What was the most you ever made for a match? Or for a salary for a year?
For a full year, the most I ever made,
mm-hmm.
$800,000.
No.
God damn, that's a robbery. Jesus. For Ric Flair.
What?
I make twice that with Ryan Fitterman.
That's insane.
Damn,
and you ain't got to beat your body up.
Jesus no. Christ. No, I just got to go out and hang out with him while he drinks tequila at night.
Well, let's talk about the reason that you're in town, Comic-Con. Let's talk about these coins and these cards that
you
have.
Talk about them again. Yeah,
are they awesome? Can you feel the weight of them?
Yep.
Solid silver, guys.
So people can buy these coins. They're $5, right? It says $5 on the back, or they're worth $5?
The price will actually be announced tomorrow.
Oh, the price will be announced tomorrow.
Yeah. We can keep these, right?
I don't know. You have to talk to the...
We can keep these, Ryan, or is this for show?
These are Kenny. So that's
Kenny. Oh, damn, Kenny.
Damn, okay. Kenny.
I done took pictures of them and sent them to people.
Yeah, me too. I was asking them. Oh, thank you.
Oh, okay, word.
So people could purchase the cards and you'll sign them at Comic-Con?
I'm not sure what they're doing. I'm doing whatever they want me to.
So what are they doing
over here? Come here, Ryan. Come on. Come here. Come
to the mic. One of y'all come to the mic so y'all can explain it. Any one of y'all.
So the Nature Boy will be releasing our products October 14th, which is tomorrow at 10:30, live on eBay Live at Comic-Con. So we'll post all the prices and all the products that are available, and Rick and I will be opening them live for customers. So there's different chase elements inside there. So there'll be redeemables for personalized memorabilia from Rick. A meet and greet with Rick is also available. So there's a lot of cool stuff that we'll be announcing tomorrow morning.
And are these limited edition?
Yeah, so I made 1,000 of the silver coins in the bigger holders there. Those, I made 1,000 of those.
Okay.
There's 1,000 of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then of the gold card, there's 500.
Wow, so 500 for the
gold.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pure gold.
Isn't that nice?
So his is different than mine, right? I see red in his, mine is?
Yeah, so he has the chase. So when we stop, I'll explain everything to you guys. And we'll split it up evenly amongst you guys.
Oh, wow, okay. I love it.
Right.
All right.
Is there a website?
It's so celebritymint.com.
Celebritymint.com.
But distribution will be handled by eBay.
Okay.
So get to Comic-Con early, and hopefully they can get some of this stuff. And Rick will be there to meet some people.
Yes, sir.
Wow, that's so cool. Congratulations, man. You deserve it.
Thank you, sir.
The
appreciate
fact that you got your body beat up and they only paid you $800,000, I love to see you win in
there,
man.
That was just 1 year.
That was just 1 year. I mean, just 1 year.
That's 500 for the most.
Before that. Wow.
I did want to ask you, what do you think about celebrities getting into wrestling? Like when you see the Logan Pauls and the Bad Bunny.
Well, actually, I like the guys that are actually good athletes, and I've got no problem with that. Mm-hmm. I'm not crazy about some of the people they bring in. But I mean, when they actually couldn't get in the ring, and Bad Bunny was a really good friend.
He did pretty good.
He did really good. He killed it. He did really good.
Mm-hmm.
But that Paul kid, believe it or not, I know that Sean trained him, which I wasn't aware of, but that Paul kid is damn good.
Mm-hmm. He's an athlete.
And he ain't afraid of anything.
Yeah.
You know, a big part of wrestling is when they start telling you to jump off that turnbuckle and go through the table, I mean, that table doesn't always break the way you want it to. Mm-hmm. There ain't nothing guaranteed about those tables.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not gimmicked or anything. They haven't been taking the screws out. You got to hit them right dead center in the middle. They won't break the right way.
Wow.
Hold on. So those tables weren't staged? They weren't
No, absolutely not.
God dang.
That's a big misconception.
Do you know how many people y'all got hurt that went home and tried that on one of them tables?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Especially with the steel chairs.
Yeah. Steel chair, that they don't know more headshots because of all the concussion issues. You know, I mean, guys like Mick Foley, and I mean, the stuff Mick did is still on. If you look at the stuff going off the top of the cage, and then that time, I was just talking to Taker about it the other day when they were on top of the cage. And Taker said, "God, Mick, I can feel that the wire's breaking on top, right?" And Mick said, "I'm ready." And when he fell through, landed in the back of his neck, teeth went through his right to his nose.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Mick has beat his brains out, man. More. I mean, thumbtack matches. I only had a couple of those with him, but and it doesn't hurt while you're out there. But man, when you go back there and they're pulling the thumbtacks out of you and the barbed wire stuff, the barbed wire is really rough. That barbed wire baseball bat, there's nothing good about that.
Jesus.
All the time, I thought all that stuff was props.
I thought it was fake. I thought it was props too.
Like, there's no way that's real thumbtacks. They got to be plastic.
No.
No way, that's real barbed wire.
But when you hit a guy with a barbed wire bat, you're going to hit him one time. And once again, it doesn't hurt when you're out there because the adrenaline is flowing, right? But when you go back and you've got barbed wire in your head.
Y'all had to be on more than adrenaline. You had to be on something. There's no way y'all went
out. No, I mean, they didn't stick. The barbed wire didn't stick in you, but it whacked you. Yeah, when your adrenaline's running, you'd be surprised.
How many medics were backstage?
How many what?
Medics. Ambulances.
Oh, they have two full-time doctors.
Just two?
Mm-hmm.
Had to be some cocaine involved, man.
Cocaine?
Just had to be.
Not for me, never.
Really? So people just went up there sober?
You don't teach the kids for cocaine anymore. Back in the 80s, it was very prevalent. But I never hear of any cocaine use in our business. I'm not saying they don't.
Yeah.
Right. But it's certainly not done on the premises. The wellness policy the WWE has is stricter than... Actually, it's probably stricter than the NFL.
Wow.
And I'm sure Tony has the same thing at AEW.
Mm-hmm.
They can't afford to have someone, you know.
Overdose and die.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Especially kids watching. Absolutely. Wow. Well, Ric Flair, we appreciate
Nature
you.
Boy.
Thank you.
Joining
Thank you,
us.
Man.
Thank you so much. Make sure you head out to Comic-Con. Get what you got to get. Get these mint cards. And
I can't wait till we get a Ric Flair movie, man.
I know. Guess what? It's coming down.
Based off your book? To be a man?
No, I can't tell you anymore. And I just got the word. The writer's strike is over.
Wow.
Well, so congrats.
We're going to get a Rick.
Wow. This guy right here.
Really?
Yeah, I can't say anymore.
Can't say no more.
Wow.
Can't say anymore.
All right.
All right. It's the Breakfast Club. It's Ric Flair.
I want to come back.
Yeah, anytime. Please. Anytime.
Wake that ass up.
In the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.